It one of the things that it does really
Yeah.
well that I feel like it's going to get my vote for this time around
Sure.
is the way that it does its sequels, right? Meet the Parents, then you do Meet the Fockers. And it's like they were able to do in a sequel what a lot of movies couldn't really do back then was like, you nailed it.
Ready, the Armada. Kenobi.
I'm not a monster.
Oh, no, he's showing me. Hey, come on.
Kenobi!
Welcome to Films of Black and White, everybody.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah, I was expecting another, all right, all right, all right. That's what we got last time. But the welcome, you know, Brian, I'm just happy you're here.
I'd like to keep you on your toes. All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right. We got a great episode for y'all. Happy Monday. We are so thrilled you are there. Happy belated St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Hopefully everybody made it to where they needed to this morning. They didn't go too hard in the paint last night. Hopefully the leprechaun didn't get anybody.
I don't think the rainbow blinded anyone. I think we're okay.
Let's hope not. I mean, I forgot that we watched the leprechaun, Brian, until I saw a picture of him and I went, oh okay. Yeah, we watched that movie. Like, yes. It'd been one of those for such a long time that I had just written off that like we never saw. But the fact that I saw it and then was like, no, okay. So yeah, we definitely watched that.
There's a lot. There was actually a moment last week where I was like, you know what movie we should watch? And then I looked it up and I was like, we've already watched that. Okay.
What movie was it?
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to look at my notes. I even wrote it down in like my work planner because I was like, you know what movie we gotta watch? And then I was like, oh, we've already talked about
this. I like that we're getting to that point, like collectively as a podcast, where it's like, oh, you know what we should watch? We should watch VelociPastor. It's like, nope, Doug, we already did.
No, we did that already. But how are you, Doug? How are you feeling?
I am feeling really, really great. I'm just thrilled to be here. This is going to be a very unnerving episode for everybody because I got very hard in the chat today.
A little
for just being me. And so I'm going to lean in and this is just going to be, I'm just excited to be here. I love being here with my friends. I'm not going to say a single curse word for the remainder of this episode.
What?
I am, Brian, what? I am committed to keeping things above board so that way when Marcus does come at me, it looks like I'm being attacked. And I'm trying to go for the illusion here of like, you know, he was just doing, everything was above board. So that's my tactic. And I can talk about it because he's not here yet. So, because he has to work, respectively.
I mean, with respect to people who got to work.
Respectful.
Nice.
With respect.
Yes. It's a respectful notice that he's not here, but it's for a good reason. But he will be here.
It's really just letting the listeners know and the viewers know that if you don't hear him or see him, nothing happened. He just had to work. And so he's running a little behind. And you know what? I'm proud of him for being at work and for doing what he has to do and for just being, you know, just being that guy. So good for him.
Being that guy. Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Nailing
yes,
it.
I love
Nailing
that.
That's what I'm going for. But Brian, how are you? Mr. Biohazard, how are you?
Oh man, I'm good. I'm happy to be here. It was one of those, it was one of those like days where I was constantly moving, whether it was work or whether it was like a personal errand. So this is like the first time I've been able to kind of like sit with my own thoughts, which is exciting. And I'm very excited. I've been thinking about our 2000s comedy bracket for probably way too long, at least over a week. And I'm really excited to dive into some of those nuances. I want to give a shout out real quick, to my friends, Jake and Matt and Brian. I shared the bracket with them cause I was like, hey, I need another set of eyes that are like not on the podcast because like, I feel like I'm so dialed in to like what you and Marcus are into. And when I'm seeding brackets, like I it's like a meta game almost. So I'm like, just look at this. Like, look at this. Am I losing it? And it led to kicking out Saving Silverman, which I'm happy to
talk about. All right, that is a choice.
We kicked out Saving Silverman. I saw that movie a lot on Comedy Central, so I think I grew attached to it in an unhealthy way. Oh my gosh, that movie in the 2000s, it feels like it was like the budget cable pick because it like Jason Biggs blew up. I think
Jason Biggs was in it. Jack Black was in it.
Amanda Pete, Steve Zahn
was in it.
Yep.
Okay. I was trying to make sure I had it. I had it the right way. Yeah. I saw that easily a dozen times between TV, two times I like rented it. Like that was just, that was how it worked.
Right. Back when you went to the store to rent movies.
You went to a store because we're old people.
We are old people. So I was really happy that my friends could help me out there and just be like, nah, man, this is whack. Or are you sure you want these two movies going up? Also, I'll talk about this more in our bracket, but like, it's really weird. Like when I was putting the list together, there's a lot of like horny road trip movies in the 2000s. It's like, it's uncomfortable how many were made.
Brian, it is unnerving how many horny teens drive across the country for a booty call movies or another part of the world for a booty call type of situation.
I mean, it like, and it's the same plot. Like I looked at all these movies and I was like, well, I mean, you got Euro Trip. I mean, that's kind of, that's the same thing as Road Trip, except it's in, it's in Europe. So then there's like literally a movie called Sex Drive. Like they just they put no veneer on it. That didn't make it into our bracket. But
it was a part of it.
No, but it was part of the research, and I was like, man. And then Harold and Kumar show up. Not the same thing, I want to point out, but like you're just kind of like, okay, all right. So like in the 2000s, we were just obsessed with road trips. Like we just had to get out and go see the world, but also some type of romance needed to be happening. Like you couldn't just do the road trip on your own. There needed to be some type of romance. I don't know. Maybe adults weren't okay in the 2000s. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's weird.
I also think, and Brian, you can tell me how you view this, but like, I kind of feel like there was this romanticism amongst my friends of what kind of car we were going to get when we were like 15 or 16, like, and it was like, well, what are you going to drive? Like, oh, my dad's going to like, I got a Honda Civic. Like he found news. Like, you know what I mean? There was always that discussion of like, who's driving what? And there was this sort of like gravitas to the vehicle you drove. And it's really interesting, like being now and like looking at it and being like, well, is it safe? Does it have all the airbags that I need it to have? Or important question for living in the tundra. Does it have all-wheel drive? Can I make it out into the tundra if I have to?
Yeah.
But I have a feeling there was this sort of like pairing of like being young and dumb and then having a car.
Yeah.
And all of that like manifested itself into like you said, Sex Drive, which is insane. And then like I'm looking at some of these other ones like that are just are on that same theme, like Euro Trip, same theme. American Pie 2, didn't in American Pie 2 there was a road trip component?
Yes. Like the premise of Road Trip 2 is they spend the summer like on the beach and they have to take a road trip there. Like it's like half of, it's like I'd say a quarter of the movie.
It's a summer cabin.
Yes.
That's incredible. Okay, yeah. I'm surprised I remember the plot of that movie at all.
Well, you know, and we'll talk more about it, but like, I mean, American Pie, the death grip it had on comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody thought Jason Biggs was going to just dominate Hollywood. That took a turn. You know, I'll have more intelligent thoughts about it, but that is a legitimate... But yeah, the road trip thing was a legitimate thought in my head of just like, man, like if you weren't a Will Ferrell comedy, you were a road trip comedy, most likely.
Kind of.
In the 2000s.
Yeah. And then like, there were these like a couple that were outliers beyond that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was,
But good job. Shout out to Matt and Chris and other Brian for taking a look at the bracket and putting their magic on it, because that's the most important thing.
Shout out for being my other set of eyes, so I didn't have Zoolander and Talladega Nights going up against each
other. They do start to blend together, and especially when we're dealing with a bracket of 32 different movie titles, Brian, that is going to be, that blends together very quickly, very, very quickly.
It's kind of like, it's weird. It's weird how many of those Will Ferrell comedies blend together now. Like,
yeah.
I remember when they each came out, like the marketing campaigns with them, and it was so distinct and like so different. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, Will Ferrell hung out with Owen Wilson for this one. Will Ferrell hung out with John C. Reilly for this one.
Yep.
That's just like, I don't know. It's just looking back on it. It's like, okay, that's what they did. They just replicated that as many times as they could.
They had a formula, and he was the it dude, at that time. Brian,
hello.
While we wait for Marcus to get here, let us play a little game of catch that quotable while we wait. So
I have a question about a certain Helldivers game.
Ooh, I'd love to get into my experience so far.
Yes,
so
I would love first,
catch that quotable.
Silky sounds of Doug Wagner.
Ooh, that doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as well.
And my voice is a bit too low to make it sound smooth. It was like a little bit more gravelly. So
that's okay.
This is who we are when Marcus is here.
This is who we are. This is who we are, everybody. So one thing I wanted to, as I'm pulling up the quote, I did want to plug that if you have not joined the Patreon, we do a very special bonus episode after this one. Yes. Where we dive into a foundational movie for Brian called Resident Evil. And this, between the bracket and going down this rabbit hole, y'all, I was in it. Like I was in it. So.
That's such an amazing cross section of like 2000 vibes is the best way I can say it. That's incredible. That's incredible.
It's really the best way to say it at all. So Brian, are you ready for this week's quote?
Doug, hit me.
All right, here's the quote.
All right.
I know Miss Pac-Man is special. She's fun. She's cute. She swallows.
Oh, your delivery was great.
I have not seen whatever this is from, knowing that there are some very intentional commas or periods as this was delivered. I will read it again.
All right, great.
I know Miss Pac-Man is special. She's fun. She's cute. She swallows. Brian, I am going to butterscotch soda this a smidge.
Go for it. Full speed ahead.
Because there is a movie with Adam Sandler and Josh Gad.
Okay.
And the guy who played the short Lannister.
Oh, okay.
And it was a movie about video games about aliens that invade.
Oh, Pixels. I'm almost positive.
That's
exactly
what I feel like. That's the movie that this should be.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like this is from.
Yeah, I can get there. I don't know if it's because I've been deep in the bracket, but I also get like 40-year-old virgin vibes from this a little bit.
Oh yeah,
But I don't know if I want to commit to that at all. I don't know if I want to commit to that.
No,
that's the only
only video game scene that I remember is when Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd are playing video games and they have that exchange of "I know how you know you're gay." They don't talk about the game at all.
Right,
they're talking about how I know the other person is gay.
Right,
I'm trying to look at these other ones that might be on here.
Well, now you got Pixels. I'm stuck on Pixels here.
That's where I'm kind of stuck.
All right.
The hint from Roman in the chat is this movie may be on the bracket or should be on the bracket. So,
all right. Well,
we're going to take a look. We're just going to do it. We're just going to go for it. I'm locking in Pixels. Before I start,
I'm going 40-year-old virgin. I don't know. I don't know what we're looking at here. This is not familiar to me.
We both got it wrong. And this probably should be on. This should be. This should,
let's,
Brian. There may be a dispute about the bracket. Brian, this is from the movie Van Wilder.
Oh, boy.
Which came out in 2002.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that's like what kicked off Ryan Reynolds' career. Goodness gracious. Okay. Okay.
There we go.
Wow. Wow, Van Wilder. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
we can neither confirm nor deny Roman that it is on there.
I don't know what version of the bracket was put out. It might have been a
second or third draft, but it was carefully curated.
It was curated by me.
Yep. Well, there you go.
Okay, so we totally whiffed. We totally whiffed on that, but that's okay because we'll come back and talk more about Van Wilder.
Yeah, because that now that I'm like reading the line in my head in like a Ryan Reynolds voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like I'm like, that's the way the pauses and the cadence. He's getting quieter. He's like, I know Miss Pac-Man. She's fun. Oh, she's cute. She swallows. Like she's doing like that little like head smile, like is what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Head smile, look into the camera, raise eyebrows, scene moves on.
I mean, that movie just, it was like, this is Ryan Reynolds and he's available for all your movies, but he's just like this. It's this guy for the rest of the movies.
Obviously, do you like this guy? Can he be other guys? No, this guy. That's all he can be.
He can, but he's also this guy at the same time. The only movie one of the only movies I've ever seen him not go like full Ryan Reynolds was Fireflies in the Garden, which was like this family drama essentially, and he played like a big brother and he was sad. And it was really weird not to see him like Ryan Reynolds. I don't know. He doesn't even sound like that. But but like not going, you know, full Ryan Reynolds. And it was a little uncomfortable.
It's weird. It's weird when he doesn't do what you expect him to do. Yeah. Because the other one that I remember
okay.
is the Amityville Horror.
He was
in that, but even at the beginning, he's a little Ryan Reynolds-y before he starts to get like possessed and the movie starts to get scary.
And he's also in a movie called Buried, where the entire movie is shot with him in like essentially a coffin and people have to find him. He's still a little bit Ryan Reynolds, but it's like Ryan Reynolds, but he's scared. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, but it's still a good dramatic role, but it's like, man, it really messes with me when he goes full drama. Cause you're like, I can't process this right now. Like I cannot get past this right now.
Yeah. Very, very weird. Very, very wild. But good quote, Roman. And thanks for giving us the quote that came before the quote, which is her name is Naomi, which is I moan backwards. Now, look, I know because he's talking to the people who are playing Pac-Man. Yep. I've got this scene now. That's all I needed. Like, I've got the scene in my head now of, like, where he's at, what's going on. Yeah. It's perfect.
Man.
Yeah. That movie was a trip. That movie is
I haven't thought about Van Wilder in a very long time. So this is good.
I remember... And we'll talk about this more as we get into the actual like bracket. But the last thing I'll say is there are other portions of this that they released like just like unrated. Like that was the other big thing of comedies in the 2000s where it was did you like Van Wilder in the theaters? Here's Van Wilder unrated. And you're like, what does that mean? It means you get a little bit more side boob in this one for like a moment.
I mean, there was full nudity in Van Wilder. Yes. I remember being one of like the things about it, like when you heard your friends talk about it. But you're absolutely right. And again, we'll talk more about this in depth because also listeners, this bracket we're going to go over all the rules, but we're only doing the first round for this episode.
That's it.
In celebration of March Madness. So we'll keep this going at least for the next 2-3 weeks until a champion is decided. During that time, we're going to talk also a lot about, because the thing that ties into that, Doug, is that they would use that to sell more DVDs.
Yes.
And like, I feel like that's just not, those same incentives or draws aren't there anymore, right? Like, you
or
know,
standard definition and widescreen definition. You remember that shit? That marketing plan that like we all fell into, which like, well, they're the same price. Well, I mean, I want the theater experience, right. So yeah, I'll take the widescreen. Yeah. Like,
of course, I'll buy the widescreen.
I'm gonna buy the widescreen. It might have been like a dollar more, but the fact that there were two different versions,
I mean, it's insane. And I remember doing it. I remember going with my dad, and I'll never forget. He's like, well, then you're going to have the sides chopped off. And that like is a core memory. It locked into my brain every time I bought a movie. It's widescreen. And then when people would ask, I'm like, I don't want the sides chopped off. Do not want that at all. and I became like a fervent believer in that. And then
so funny.
Cut to 30 years later. And it's just the default option now for like literally every streaming
for everything.
Service. Which is so funny. Like,
yeah,
I don't even think you could watch anything full screen if you wanted to now. Like, as a default option.
The only thing that you could, as full screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Because the only other thing that I know is like when the kids have watched like old school versions of the Magic School Bus.
Oh, sure.
It's like small TV screen. So there's black on the sides.
Get the black bars.
But that's it. So, yeah. But you're right. I don't think that there's much that's full screen.
Like if we queued up Disney Plus and went to go watch Star Wars, I doubt I could be like, I would like full screen, please, Mr. Disney Plus. Like, I'm pretty sure that doesn't exist.
I mean, Brian, they now have, look at how far we've come, a full screen, widescreen, like comparison. And now we are full blown into, would you like the IMAX version of this movie in your home? And you're like, I don't have a screen. Doesn't matter. You can put it on.
Don't worry about it.
Cool.
You get IMAX quality as long as no one else is downloading anything on your wireless router.
Brian, my core memory involving DVDs was my dad bought a DVD player, and the first movie he bought on DVD was the DVD Pearl Harbor. And I remember we sat down to try to watch Pearl Harbor, but he couldn't figure out how, like, there was something wrong with the surround. So this turned into like an hour-long episode of just watching your dad get increasingly more pissed.
Amazing.
So,
love that.
And so, Brian, as core memory it is for me now, is anytime there's something wrong with technology, I get in, the longer it goes on, the less likely I'm going to be like, fuck it, it doesn't work. Like, and just move on. Because I don't want someone to watch me struggle for an hour and a half.
I get it, though. I get it. Because, like, when you want something to work the way it's intended to work, you're like, I put this much time, labor, and effort into it. It's going to work. And then your kids are like, Dad, we just want to watch the movie. It's like, no, you don't. You want to watch it with the best speakers, and they
don't have the goddamn surround sound on. Right? It's not gonna work. It like, won't they don't be the same.
They just want to see Sonic. They want to see Sonic go room. That's all they want.
Our wives are like, guys, seriously, like it's not that big of a deal. They're not gonna notice. Yeah, but I'm gonna notice.
Oh my gosh, are you in my home?
Yes, I am in your home because Brian, you are now also in mine. Like that.
That's a line my dad said too. I'm like, and you're like, I guess we all will care about this now. All
the black bars are important now for everybody.
I just want to watch Shrek, man. Like that was our first DVD. If we're talking about first DVDs, and nobody understood
Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I mean, I get it because it's like a Michael Bay, right? It's like a Michael Bay whiz bang.
Well, and it was about something like my dad was interested in. So it's about World War II. So like, and so that made sense. That tracked.
Well, speaking of global conflicts per se, it seems that you have been diving into some Helldivers too, and this is
Brian.
This has been in our chat. It's kind of been this growing thing. I see TikTok videos about it all the time.
Yeah.
So where are you at? Tell us about your experience. Are you playing? Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. So normally these kind of games are not my bag.
Yeah.
And they're not my bag for one like clear reason, which is they're loot based. And I hate games like Modern Warfare, stuff where it's like, oh, everybody else is at level 50.
Oh my
and I'm at like, I decided to pick this up. So I'm at level 1 for the next 6 months. So like, I hate it. Like, I hate that system. But what what I like about Helldivers is that it doesn't really matter because it's it's four friends. It's like Left 4 Dead, but it's against robots or aliens. Like it's it's very, and so it makes it really easy to get into. It makes it fun to play.
That's so nice.
I picked it up because a friend of ours, Greg Ruby, shout out to Greg, who is currently fighting cancer.
Greg, go get him.
I have been looking for any, like, I messaged him the other day. I was like, dude, I know I can't really like come and see you.
Right.
And I was like, it's gotta be pretty lonely, like to have to be in the situation you're in, not to bring everybody down. But I was like, hey, let me know a game you'd want to play. I was like, if you want to, we could play Baldur's Gate together and start a campaign like that. If you want to, I was like, let me know. He's like, I'd love to do Baldur's Gate. He's like, or I've heard Helldivers is pretty good. And I was like, done. So like, I got it for that. And I haven't had a chance to play with Greg yet, but I played a little bit myself. And so dude, it's fun. It's fun. Oh, it's a lot amazing. Of fun. They have leaned into, they basically made like Starship Troopers a video game. Like what they did.
That's an amazing premise.
And so the premise is, and the whole video game like starts out like the little like cutscene here.
Yeah.
Is like and what's really funny to me is it almost feels like a little bit of a parody. It's all like fighting for freedom and democracy.
Of course.
Like, you've gotta do your part to help stop these bugs and robots from taking over new Earth. And it's just it's really, really, so it's a lot of fun. but one of the things in it is you get like your own battleship that you go to other planets, and that's how you start missions.
That's
amazing. You have to name your battleship. So like you have to name it. But it's not like you type in. So it's like they give you like scroll bars. So it's like it could be Sword of Justice or Arbiter of Freedom. Like you could like pair those things
that's
up. And so I spent time like just like figuring it out. So my ship's name is the Sword of Morality, which I think is very funny to me. It's funny to me because they are so opposite ends of things.
Is that why your tagline is a good and honorable person on our live stream?
That is, again, if we go backwards to the argument of it's making it difficult for Marcus to come at me, how can you come at a good and honorable person? It's going to be
who is the captain of the Sword of Morality?
A good and honorable person.
Clearly. Yes.
But that's been a lot of fun. Right before that, I played Ghost of Tsushima.
Ooh, how'd you like that?
I like that a lot. Like, excellent. Not to make this like PlayStation 5 talk.
No,
Brian,
you're
Brian
fine.
It's our show. We do what we want. That one was a lot of fun. I really liked it because of a couple of reasons. One, it looks really, really pretty. Like, it's just very like visually stunning. It was made for the PS4, but then they did like a remaster when PS5 came out. And it looks really, really, really pretty. And the other way in which I like it is that the way that they did like different like levels or side missions, they have it set up almost like an old school samurai movie where it's like, this is the ghost as he conquers, as he goes and finds .. And then it's so the way that they have that system set up is just really, really cool.
Excellent.
So like I said, pretty game and fun game. But right now Helldivers 2 is what I've been experimenting with the most. Marcus,
that's
welcome.
Amazing.
It is so good to see you.
Speaking of diving in.
How are you?
What, Doug? Doug?
Yeah.
What type of time are we on today before I answer?
That's fine. I'm just saying it's good that you're here.
I'm asking,
and I'm very happy that you're here.
I don't know about the tone, so I want to, Brian, let me ask you instead. Brian, what type of time are we on today?
What type of time are we on?
Yeah.
We're on regular time.
Okay. All right.
Loaded. This feels loaded.
We're here live and in living color. Sorry, I'm late. Student work, a lot of transitioning into the semester after spring break. It's pretty much downhill from here.
You know what? So. No apologies needed, friend. We get it.
Doug is a good and honorable person, as he said.
I know his ploy. He fucked up because he told me what his plan was. It's not going to work.
I feel very confident this is going to work.
Wow. What you're not going to do is frame me as an aggressive black man on this podcast.
How you frame yourself is none of my business.
Okay, rephrasing. He must be, you must be shadow boxing with yourself all day.
More importantly, Marcus, did you have a good weekend? Did you have a good spring break?
It was good. It was a nice little break. And it was, you know, a lot of students left, so it was a nice time to catch up on everything. And then obviously when they come back, it's like you got to hit the ground running. But it was good. It was good.
Good. Good. Good. It's always a little weird when they leave for spring break.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's almost like a, hold on, can I really relax? And then they come back and you're like, oh, good. Good thing I didn't.
Yeah.
Because if they're all here again.
If you gave me three more days, I would have been like, man, what the fuck are y'all doing here? Walking around in my boxers or something on campus.
Right.
Like, hey, man, I forgot y'all was supposed to be going. What, man?
What? Pulling a Ferris Bueller. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Leave.
Get out of here.
Go on, get.
Marcus, do you want us to read you the quote?
Bro, yeah, for sure.
I can see if you can get it.
We got it wrong, but
almost immediately.
Yeah. But we'll let almost immediately.
Almost immediately.
I'm gonna get it wrong too. So.
Yeah. Okay. I know Miss Pac-Man is special. She's fun, she's cute, she swallows.
Oh man. I'm thinking Pixels. What's that movie with Adam Sandler?
Shit. That was my guess.
Oh, was that your guess? That's hilarious.
That's all right. That's all right.
What's the movie?
Van Wilder from 2002.
Oh, fuck. I would not have remembered that at all. No. Pixels makes me. That's a funny Pixels joke, but.
That is very funny. And it's also very funny because I didn't know the name right away. So I said to Brian, I was like, I'm going to have to butterscotch photo this because I did not know the name of this movie at all. So.
Yeah. I didn't help.
No, that's okay.
That's all right. Okay.
I think Roman is like, hey, we haven't donated to charity in a while, so I think he's kind of wondering what to do.
he's trying to make something work.
And just
well, it is tax season, like, so he's probably got some write-offs. He's trying to be like, want to make sure.
Oh, for sure, for sure. He's gonna start like low pitching us here pretty soon. That's from a movie we watched last week. That's weird.
Oh my god, my name is Blade. That's from the movie Blade. All right, you win.
You know what? You got me. gentlemen, we are gonna get into this bracket.
Oh, so I didn't miss the bracket. Nice.
You didn't. Right. We waited. We stalled so you could come here and be here for the bracket.
All right.
I mean, we were getting into it. You missed a very involved conversation about widescreen versus full screen DVDs.
That matters, though.
It does.
Thank you. It does. And this is going to be relevant coming up. So,
very much
so. I didn't realize how much I miss DVDs because you learn all of these things about TVs and screens and how you want your stuff set up. Do you want subtitles? Do you want it widescreen? Do you want it full screen? What's the stereo audio? Back when they did commentary with DVDs and movies and shit like that.
Oh my gosh.
As the characters, not just as like the directors. I miss that age.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was, and what I miss is that, like, the cases, like, some of the like DVD box art was like another level. Yeah. I have a copy of Transformers that is a version of Optimus Prime that transforms into like a 2D version of Optimus Prime that stands up. So, that's a thing I have.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, it's hard.
Wow,
that
goes hard. That goes hard, man.
It does.
Bring back DVD and album art.
Wow. Yeah, so for this bracket, we are going to take a look at 2000 comedies. So comedies that were made in the 2000s, 2010. Yes. We have the bracket wizard, Brian Rausch, on this jam. We are going to kind of go through it. Now, thing to keep in mind, we're not going to do this whole bracket today.
No.
Because March Madness is kicking off this week. Woo! Bracket got announced yesterday. Shout out to the Lady Coyotes for getting into the WNIT.
Oh, and hosting.
And hosting the WNIT. Wow. So good things for them. Which is really exciting.
That's huge.
But we wanted to kind of be in line with that theme. So we are going to do this first round, taking it from 32 to 16.
Okay.
The next thing we'll do 16 to 8, 8 to 4, and so on and so on. And we'll kind of go from there. And this is going to be interesting because usually we get these brackets like all in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if we like look back and go like, well, last week, why did we say this one won over this one? So I'm kind of curious to see how this goes. So what we say goes. This is how this is going to work. So, Brian, I will turn it over to you, sir. Take it away.
All
right, folks. Welcome to the 2000s Comedy Bracket, sponsored by Films in Black and White. And we have 32 teams, movies, and we will be doing the first round. So this is the melee. This is like the Royal Rumble. Everybody's here. Everybody has a chance. For who made the cut as we talk about these movies, it is just based on cultural relevance. Like it is not a science. This is very much like, no, this didn't perform well at the box office, but everybody quotes this. So it needs to be in here.
Okay.
So that might be like your Juno per chance. Oh, like it was not a box office hit, but it was culturally relevant.
That's tough.
We also, I did my best to include a variety of things. However, some things are unavoidable, like Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell is in a quarter of these movies. Like,
that's true.
And I can't avoid that. I just can't. And then some didn't make it. There's some notable exceptions. Pineapple Express didn't make the cut. I do feel like that was a good comedy, but culturally relevant. I don't think it makes it here. What's up, Doug?
Am I looking at an old version of the bracket, Brian?
Let's see here. You might be. Hang on. I can send you the link.
Yeah, send me the updated one, because I was looking at it and I was like, Brian, I'm looking at Pineapple Express. Looking at it. So it's possible I have the wrong one. So, all right. Hey, send me the update.
Here we go. We're sending the updated one.
Oh, man. Y'all went to Helldivers. Y'all went over Helldivers.
Oh, we did.
I'm going to have to listen back to the episode.
See? It's going to be fun.
It's going to be good.
It's
going to
be fun.
It's going to be great. Could be fun.
Saving Silverman, it like played all the time in Comedy Central. I don't feel like it's good enough to be in this bracket. So those are the types of decisions that were made. So again, this is vibes and cultural relevance, not necessarily like box office success.
Big on vibes.
So let's get it started, folks. Our first matchup is one, the 40-year-old virgin versus old school.
This is tough. So here's the wrench that's going to get thrown into this, I think, too, as well.
What's that?
The social circles of cultural relevance for us.
Because
all of us are in different realms at like whatever age we were, and then whoever we hung around, you know, whatever state we were in at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Immediate answer is 40-year-old virgin. Although I've seen both of these, 40-year-old virgin is the one I remember the most, with Kevin Hart, Steve Carell. Like, it's, yeah. So
that's me. I mean, right off the bat, 40-year-old virgin made me laugh out loud way more than old school. I don't know where you're at, Doug.
I could tell where he's at.
This one's tough for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the 40-year-old virgin, because I think there are portions of it that I thought Steve Carell was just like another. He was another level in this. I think anytime that you commit to that level of like physical comedy, like given the like the waxing scene, I mean, that's a. I will say, though, old school definitely, though, has a place in my heart because, I mean, for those that don't know, like Brian and I were in a fraternity, and as a joke to myself, right before we did any type of pledging activity, I watched that movie just to kind of chuckle at like how ridiculous it could be. And so that was something that I just did like for me. So it definitely has its place in terms of movies that I really like that I thought were really funny. I think if it's not going up against the 40-year-old virgin, like the first draw, I might have this go a little differently, but 40-year-old virgin sticks around.
I feel like old school was what they figured out they could keep doing. And it's funny to me because Will Ferrell is not the lead here. It's Luke Wilson.
Yep.
And Luke Wilson is not, he's a fine actor. He doesn't have the same energy as Will Ferrell.
He does not.
So I feel like it gives the movie a different vibe, but this was the movie where it's like, wait, we just keep perfecting this and we're going to make a ton of money. And they did.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Mm-hmm. I don't think you get a Step Brothers without old school to some capacity.
Absolutely.
Like, I would agree with that.
Absolutely not.
I would agree with that.
Like that. It's the forerunner. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our next matchup is The School of Rock versus Bruce Almighty.
This is tough, man.
This is a tough mid-tier match.
This one's hard.
Anything I've learned from doing brackets with us in the past is you can't go last because then you got to break ties usually. I'm going to say...
I'll go last this whole episode because I love you guys so much.
You know what, Doug? I want you to go first now.
Wow. That's fine. I'm gonna go with School of Rock.
Okay.
Here's the reason why. For me, it's the music. Like I think the music was just so much fun. I had this soundtrack and I listened to it over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that it was all classic rock stuff was something that was really like cool for me. Because I mean it was like all the Who and it was all like the Rolling Stone, like it was all that type of music that for me was just AC/DC type stuff. So like for me, School of Rock is where I'm gonna go for my first one.
So I'm gonna go with Bruce Almighty.
That's awesome.
And that is because Jim Carrey can do no wrong in my eyes. The physical comedy, there's a lot of quotables of like, I still say things, and that's just how the cookie crumbles, or it's good, like it's good. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that movie is so quotable. It has Steve Carell in it, it has Morgan Freeman as God in it. You know what I mean? So then you get Evan Almighty, which I think it's not as funny, but it is still a good follow up to like Bruce Almighty, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm gonna go with Bruce Almighty.
Okay, hello. I'm the tiebreaker.
hello.
I feel so School of Rock. This is tough because I do like the music in School of Rock.
Yep.
I just feel like there's more funny moments in Bruce Almighty. I think those are good movies. School of Rock, though, is like a fun school drama with comedy in it. And I feel like Bruce Almighty.
You have it 100% right.
You're hitting the ground running immediately. Jim Carrey being weird, right?
Yeah.
And Jennifer Aniston is a great supporting actress in that, too, because she basically has to play like the straight character of like, what's happening? And I think she's pretty good at that. She's pretty sassy in it. I like it.
You're absolutely right. I thought I was skipping for a second. I was just trying
you're
to
fine.
Find the words. School of Rock is there are slow chunks in that where you're like, is this supposed to be funny or is this supposed to be serious?
Right.
And I also think it's telling. I picked it because I liked the movie, not because I thought I liked the music, not because I thought it was the funnier movie. So I think this is right choice. But that was just which one, if we're going which one off the rip, would I watch? School of Rock, I probably would watch.
Yeah. I mean, and Jack, this is like right at the start of Jack Black's like career. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Cause like he was a force. There wasn't anyone else he was doing.
Nacho Libre came before or after this?
That came after.
And then Tenacious D was well before this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next up, I guess, is the weirdo indie division. This is Clerks 2 versus Juno.
Weirdo indie.
That's the right way to put it.
This affectionately as a weirdo indie lover. Like
So for me, I have seen Clerks 2.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen bits and pieces of Juno. I have never been able to catch Juno in full. I do know that movie was culturally relevant. I was also, I think, in high school when this came out. So that idea of a high school pregnancy.
Yeah.
What year was that? What did you know was maybe, what, 2000?
I was in 14? 6 or 7.
Oh.
I was going to say, I was in college. So.
Yeah, it was.
I was not in high school yet at all.
Yeah. Oh, then it would make sense then why it's going to hit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Clerks too because I like the Clerks.
All good.
I'm actually going to go to Clerks. I'm going to go Clerks 2 for the same reason.
Oh, wow.
For the same reason that I think you all said for School of Rock.
Yeah.
I think there are more dramatic moments. It is culturally relevant.
Yes.
And there are certainly some like funny, quirky things, but I think they're more funny because they're quirky than they are true like comedy beats.
I agree.
I get it. I'm still going Juno as the dissent vote Ellen Page in this movie is so funny. Mm-hmm. And it's dry wit. It's it's like the slow delivery of like, that's where the humor is. It's not like your old school or your Talladega Nights laugh out loud. It's just like, oh, somebody threw up in the fountain at Ridgedale Mall. Did you hear about it? Like it's, you're just like, what? Like, what are you even saying?
I feel like they birthed that that might be a stretch, but I do feel like they might have birthed that kind of dry, because then you saw Juno come out And yeah, then there were movies that followed that tried to duplicate that their same dry humor.
Yeah, it. Yeah. I think Juno was probably like got the biggest audience for it, right? Because you think of like Natalie Portman and Garden State of just like these kind of like, mm-hmm, I don't know, these just kind of women leads in movies that are comedies, but not, and they're just kind of like a little out there, mm-hmm, just a little, yeah, out there, mm-hmm, in the best way possible.
Good explanation.
This movie definitely birthed the concept of like a comedy hipster. Like, and I say that, yeah, like with utmost respect, falling into that category myself at the time that this movie came out, like it was very much like, oh, you could go over to like Urban Outfitters and buy some like, mm-hmm, aged shit, yeah, that, you know what, yep, I mean? Like, it was, yep, like, oh, do you like records, but also you don't, yep, know records? Like that's very much this vibe. Like, oh, yes, like it's kind of, it's not mainstream. It's taking stuff and putting it on the fringe, yes, kind of a little bit, and almost on the outside looking in, because neither Michael Cera's character or Elliot Page's character are, oh, like main, oh, God, lead,
I was,
folks,
thinking.
Jesse, I apologize. I, yeah, no, you're fine. I definitely missed that, and I apologize.
No, you're fine.
So
no,
I'm definitely totally going to do better moving forward about that with Elliot, yeah, Page. You're absolutely, yeah, right.
Whatever. So, like, that's for the both of them, they moved. They were not the main like popular people in their school.
Oh, no.
They were, yeah, the outsiders. And so, yeah, it kind of put that sort of like a, what if a mainstream things happens to an outside kid? So like, I, yeah.
Yep. Yep. You're, no, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. All right. Moving on. We got Forgetting Sarah, oh, Marshall versus, damn, The Hangover, which
this feels unfair.
It feels tough. This feels tough.
It feels tough to me. This is a clear answer. I think,
really,
oh, to me, absolutely. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is good. It's, okay, a good movie. I will watch it, but it's The Hangover.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. All right. I kind of led you on there, but it's, I feel like it's The Hangover. The Hangover does something really unique and special, yeah, here, right? It puts, yeah, together this random assortment of people, and it has this premise of like Project X style,
right,
partying. We're going to do this thing. We're going to party. And it has so many quotables from it that,
yeah,
I think a lot of people revisit The Hangover. There's, yeah, still costumes that are still from The Hangover. Zach Galifianakis and Tyson is in this movie too, as well. You know, Mike, man, Tyson is in this movie. Bradley Cooper, like these people we see later on down the road as being kind of the elites.
I mean, this is, this is what Ed Helms messed up his TV career for, like, mm-hmm, for all intent and purpose. Like,
true,
he really messed, yep, it up trying to make these movies work. Man, mm-hmm, I don't know. I need a minute. Doug, are you leaning one way or another?
This is harder for me because,
okay,
Forgetting Sarah Marshall is one of my all-time favorites. Like, it is.
Oh, it is it really?
It is one of my all-time favorites. I love the overall theme of it.
Yeah.
I
agree.
The ending of it. Like, I love the Dracula musical portion of it.
Me
the
too.
Portions where same. Bill Hader and they're FaceTiming each other,
yep,
are hilarious to me. Like, there's a part in the beginning where he goes, I'm going to go see if she's there. He goes like, don't do that. He goes and talks and her new boyfriend. And he goes, hey, all you could hear is Bill Hader screaming into the phone to stop. No, don't do that. And then when he hops back on, he just goes, you feel good about yourself? Like, and so those portions for me are very, very funny. However, the amount of times, yeah, that I have quoted The Hangover, or the amount of times, yeah, that The Hangover has been into like my DNA,
yeah,
it's gonna be The Hangover. But Forgetting Sarah Marshall is one of my all-time favorites.
I gotta go The Hangover because Forgetting Sarah Marshall connects with me as someone who's like very emo and very in touch with their emotions. And like, if I'm having a hard time with relationships, Forgetting Sarah Marshall is such a, mm-hmm, good pick me up. But The Hangover, it's legendary. It's legendary. Oh, yeah. Like, it's there's so many things in it, mm-hmm, that are funny. The tasing scene, the community, mm-hmm, service tasing scene, Heather Graham and Ed Helms getting married. Like, just there's so many, even just Bradley Cooper. But it's The Hangover. It's the
white.
Hangover, the more
I get the amount, my family calls me White Doug because of The Hangover.
<That's> hilarious.
Like, our dog is a white. I'm like, uh-huh, I am.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh, I am.
Uh-huh, indeed, I am. Indeed, I am.
Ooh, this is tough.
All right, next matchup, we have Meet the Parents versus Me, Myself, and Irene, starring Jim Carrey. Meet the Parents, Ben Stiller.
I'm going to go first on this one. For me, it's Meet the Parents. Mm. And the reason being is that the reason that it's Meet the Parents for me is because this is the... This is the introduction of the disaster comedy. This is the introduction of everything is going wrong and this person's life is falling apart and look at how terrible it all is. I mean, before that it was What About Bob, but before then we really hadn't seen a movie like this before where it was the entire pieces of this are just melting down and we're just sort of along for the ride. Right. So for me, myself and Irene, very funny movie. Meet the Parents, though, is kind of foundational.
I love the way that they tell the story of Me, Myself, and Irene. I do want to say that, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's Jim Carrey with his three black sons. It's like the sheriff, the cop that's trying to chase him down.
Gosh,
hey, it's Anthony Anderson. Hey, what's the circumference of trying to get an egg up this man's ass? It's so many.
Yes.
It's so many moving pieces in Me, Myself, and Irene that just shouldn't make sense. But it's one of those of like, yep, that's how they explained it. That's how it goes. And I love how they recap that story. Mm-hmm. However, Meet the Parents is something different.
Yeah.
And it's Ben Stiller and I love the Meet the Parents series because one of the things that it does really well that I feel like it's going to get my vote for this time around is the way that it does its sequels, right? Mm. Meet the Parents, then you do Meet the Fockers. And it's like they were able to do in a sequel what a lot of movies couldn't really do back then was like, you nailed it. You up the disaster part of it, but you invited his side of the family to be a part of the fun.
And like, a sequel comedy that knocks it out of the park. You don't, I don't feel like you see that very often nowadays. Mm-mm.
You do not.
Mm-mm. Especially not now. So I think I have to give it to Meet the Parents.
I agree. It's Meet the Parents for me. The amount of times I have cringed. It has made me feel watching it just like I can't stand it. But then I'm laughing a whole lot because I have all this nervous energy pent up. So it goes to Meet the Parents. The thing I'll say about Me, Myself, and Irene, also kind of like in a genre of road trip movie, kind of. Because Jim Carrey's on the run. So another 2000s road trip movie.
That's true.
So I don't know, just something weird to think about.
The baby saying "fuck you," Owen Wilson popping up. The baby's like, "I say fuck you."
That's right. Like, Owen Wilson does pop up, and
he's the pretty boy. He's the pretty boy ex, and it's so like
funny.
Yeah, good shit.
Man, Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Will Ferrell, like Steve Carell, everybody putting each other in everybody else's movies. All right. We got Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle versus Road Trip. Speaking of road trip movies.
Is with who?
That has Tom Green, Sean William Scott.
Yep.
And the lead dude is forgettable.
Oh, I don't think he did anything.
I don't think he did anything after that.
I thought this was the one with Cedric the Entertainer, Bow Wow. No, that's the Johnson Family Reunion.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is the one where like he accidentally sends a sex tape of himself to his girlfriend that lives, and they are trying to go from his university to her university to try to stop that from happening. What was the really skinny dude's name?
Let me bring it up.
That's the first curse word that I've said this episode. 5315. Look at me, everybody.
Pretty good.
Is that the name of the episode? 5315.
It is.
I like it. Oh wait. Okay. I might be way off here. Breckenmeyer was the lead for this. You might remember him.
DJ Qualls.
Man, that's who I was trying to think of. Is DJ Qualls? Yeah. Okay. There's Sean William Scott, Amy Smart, DJ Qualls.
That's right.
Rachel Blanchard played his girlfriend. So Amy Smart was the girl that he filmed himself having sex with at his school.
Yeah.
Rachel Blanchard was his girlfriend. It was his actual girlfriend across the way. And then Yeah, Fred Ward is in this. Andy Dick is in this. There's a lot
Andy
of people
Dick
who
is
are,
in, this.
Are in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Breckenmeyer also. I need to cross verify this really, really quick before I just like start talking, you know, like I'm nuts here. Yeah, let's see here. He's not in The Hangover. For some reason I thought he was in The Hangover, and he's not.
He's not.
He is not.
He's just in a lot of like random shit.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Road Trip. Yeah, and then Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. I'm gonna just go off the bat right now. My vote's going to Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. That movie is all over the place, and I love it. I love it so much.
You ever had a cock meat sandwich? I'm going with Harold and Kumar.
Yeah,
Harold I am. Kumar. I'm also gonna go with Harold and Kumar, but for Sweep. The scene with Anthony Anderson where he says, "Just thinking of those tasty burgers makes me want to burn this motherfucker yeah. down."
Yep. Hey, you know what's funny?
Come on, we're gonna go burn this motherfucker. That gets me every time.
I'm gonna need to rewatch that soon. Yeah,
I incredible. Also think it's because I have a fantasy about like I used to have a fantasy about just burning shit down. Oh. Like, and so seeing it come out was just pretty good.
I didn't know which direction that was going.
Me either.
I had already kind of made up in my mind that it was Harold and Kumar, but the way we could not remember Road Trip. So that was kind of me. It was like,
that's
I don't,
a good
I don't
point.
Think I've even seen it. So
I know several portions of Road Trip because there are a couple of them. They stop off at a fraternity on their way, but it's in a all-black fraternity, and DJ Qualls has sex for the first time with a very large lady, and that's the whole thing, is that he's sort of the prude.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He's sort of the prude who gets to like come into his own while they're on this road trip.
Got it. All right, next. That is such 2000s humor, but it very much is.
Oh, Pineapple Express did make it on here. I should have checked the final draft before we did this. All right, cool. We have Pineapple Express versus Anchorman.
Tough.
I mean, for me, Anchorman is like, it's legendary. I know it's in the title, but Anchorman, I talked in only Anchorman quotes probably for a large section between 2006 and 2008. It's going to be very honest.
We all did. We all did.
60% of the time, it works all the time.
I will say, though, Pineapple Express is funny in its own right.
It is.
It's funny because I've seen it. That was great. The whole thing with the friend who just has the shit kicked out of him.
Like, oh jeez.
It was like, you know, I was gonna turn you in, but you guys are just too cool dudes, so I don't think I'm gonna like that. The way he was talking is great, but also the beginning where they're like testing again, Bill Hader
good
at
point.
Made it smoke. Like they're testing him and he's just singing. How does it make you feel? Like it's just doing that. It's hysterical to me. Wow.
So I'm going to go with Anchorman. I feel like Anchorman does what I just said with Meet the Fockers. It became a cult classic very quickly. Not even a cult classic. It just became a classic movie very quickly. And then the sequel does its thing in like just, you know, bringing justice to the original comedy that it set up. I think Anchorman is just such unique meta commentary within commentary. I just think it nails it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Plus, I can't say nothing else through without Will Ferrell in it. I feel like I already, already pushing it.
Right. Speaking of Will Ferrell, Zoolander. Starring Ben Stiller versus Talladega Nights. With Will Ferrell. Oh, wow. Right off the rip.
Zoolander is great.
Here's my problem.
Wow.
Is that Zoolander walked so Talladega Nights could run. Zoolander was a buddy-style comedy movie that led the way to say you can have two really funny people share the screen at the same time and it work. Now, I personally would rather watch Talladega Nights again, but okay. So Talladega Nights is going to get my vote, but I do think there's something to be said for Zoolander being sort of the like Prometheus, like first one to sort of like do it that way, much like we did with Meet the Parents, like this sort of like a buddy style comedy. Yeah. And old school a little bit too. Yeah.
It felt like old school and Zoolander came out so close to each other. Like you can just tell like this, they're figuring out what this comedy formula is. And my vote's going to Zoolander. I think Talladega Nights is fine. And there are parts where I laugh, but like Zoolander, I feel like is a tighter movie. I feel like it's a more efficient movie. You're getting more to the laughs sooner. That's what I like about it. I hit my microphone because I'm so upset that Zoolander isn't gonna make it. No, I'm kidding. I bumped it on accident. I don't know. I also like the Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I love that. That's reoccurring joke. I don't know.
That's a good one.
I feel
works
like,
for me.
And I understand Zoolander because I understand Blue Steel, them playing with the gasoline, Will Ferrell with the cat. Like I understand all of that. Zoolander is great. Talladega Nights, however, for me, I just quoted "If you ain't first, you're last" yesterday, and
that's
so like
right.
There's so many him strapping the damn cereal to the bottom of the car and telling his ass to drive because it was like I could tell him cocaine was at the bottom of the car,
right?
Or like the sun, so I'm gonna piss on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna throw your medals off the side of the bridge. Them going off on the goddamn granddad at the damn table. Sweet baby Jesus. Like Sweet those iconic Jesus. Moments.
8 pounds, 5 ounces.
Five
Sweet
ounces.
Baby yep. Jesus.
Sweet baby yep. Jesus. Like shake and bake. Like Talladega Nights. Shake and bake. A lot of that.
The outtakes alone. Are of where they're doing their plugging those different things. You may not know this, but packs of wild dogs have taken over most U.S. cities. That to me is.
I'm on fire. Who's going to tell him he's not on fire?
You're not like, on fire. You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby.
I gotta put my best friend out. My best friend's on fire. Like, I just think Talladega Nights nails.
I love that in the finale, there's a car crash, and they play an entire Applebee's commercial in the movie.
Yep.
And that was surreal to me. And yeah, that's like where this type of Will Ferrell buddy comedy, I feel like, started evolving into its later stages.
I gotta rewatch it. That's a good movie.
That's all right. Two very different movies. We have Borat very versus different. Shaun of the Dead.
I did not understand Borat when it originally came out because I was still too young to know that it was a real movie, but shot like it was a fake movie, and the guy he was dressed up missed the whole Pamela Anderson. For me, I'm gonna go Shaun of the Dead because I feel like Shaun of the Dead is a sleeper. And I remember rewatching that on MTV or Comedy Central all the time. And it's just, it's still a good movie. It's funny as hell. Zombie really comedy.
Hard. This is really hard. Because I know Shaun of the Dead is probably like more technically better on all merits. But Borat was just, I hadn't seen anything like that.
That's fair. That's
like
also
gorilla,
fair.
Like gorilla comedy, I guess is one way you could like classify
gorilla,
it. Of
gorilla
just,
satire.
Gorilla satire, right? I mean, like everybody was saying, like my wife, like just like that. I swear for like 5 years after this.
Somehow
movie.
Zohan, that we get Attack of the Zohan from Borat. I'm pretty sure like there's a lot I could connect there.
Oh my gosh. But, I don't know. I don't know, man.
This one's hard because of all the reasons Brian just listed. Not to like piggyback off of Brian, but
no,
like,
do it.
Borat is revolutionary in what it did in terms of like you said, that guerrilla style comedy. But Shaun of the Dead is just so much fun to watch, and there are so many things I like that kind of British humor, like the reoccurring jokes. The you've got red on you. For the entirety of the most of the movie, I really enjoyed. So I don't know.
It
so much so that people still request Shaun of the Dead sequels. And the and the director is like, no, that's not
what they clearly said what they wanted to say.
Well, they came out and they did Hot Fuzz, which was the two of them that was everybody was like, well, is that a follow-up? It's not, like it's kind of sort of supposed to be, but it's also a completely different movie with its own plot. I'm going to go Shaun of the Dead as well.
Okay.
That's tough.
I think what's hard is that if I did this when I was in college, I would have said Borat. And
like, oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Now I feel like it's Shaun of the Dead. I just feel like it's just smarter and it sticks with me. And like, just I can appreciate the recurring jokes. Like, I have more of an attention span for that now. And I'm doing this as the person I am now, not college age,
not college Brian.
Super
Brian
duper
was a different Brian.
I mean, that's a totally different person.
College Brian was a different Brian.
I
believe it.
It was a lot.
It was like a wall of hair just
swoop
up.
Brian.
Swoop Brian.
All right. Next matchup, we have White Chicks versus the Wedding Crashers.
White Chicks.
It's
culturally for me, White Chicks is an iconic movie in the Black community. And not just the Black community.
Transcended.
It transcended. It's the Wayne Bros comedy. I think that, you know, typically you see them and you're like, yeah, this is gonna be one for us, but it does something so well that you cannot recreate again. And it's two Black guys in this white face makeup, right? And they are getting off acting like these teenage girls. It's Terry Crews. It's so many different iconic quotable moments in this movie. It's where making my way downtown. They made
that remember
that fucking hit, like a slinger. So I gotta go with White Chicks. Wedding Crashers is good though, do not get me wrong.
But it's also, I have to say this, what gets really weird about this bracket is because the same family of actors, it's like
Owen Wilson,
they all start blending together.
Yep.
Like all of the movie, your Zoolanders, your Old Schools, your Wedding Crashers, your Talladega Nights, all start kind of blending together.
Will Ferrell is in Wedding Crashers, right?
He is
the OG, right? He's like the OG that they go to visit.
He's the one who made up all the rules.
Yes.
Yep. Like, I'd say he's a cameo. I don't think think he rises to supporting, but I mean, he's there in the cabal. Like, the comedy
he's in the
cabal.
He's in the last quarter of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, White Chicks is more innovative. I'm going to say that off the bat.
Bradley Cooper, Rachel McAdams, Owen Wilson.
Jesus, Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, it's a stellar cast. Like, it's a stellar cast, but like, when we're talking about the best comedy, like, I don't feel bad about Wedding Crashers because there's another movie like it in the bracket.
It's true.
And I feel like they did the formula better.
That's true. Go ahead, sorry.
I'm going to go White Chicks, like, just because, again, because it's different. And I do think it did transcend, like, and again, it's that Wayne's Brothers style comedy. Mm-hmm. Like,
if you did this
the other way, where it was that movie's not getting made, but at all.
Yeah.
And I think that this is just, I think it's just a better movie.
It was smart.
Yeah. I will say though, from Wedding Crashers, my favorite moment is when he's getting jerked off under the table and he goes, "What was the name of the charity?" And he's like, "Holy Shirts and Pants." the way he delivered that line, because he's got this big smile on his face. Holy Shirts and Pants. It's just so good.
Jeez.
That sounded crazy,
so good.
That it is funny. I'm gonna own this. I kicked out Bruno. I kicked out Bruno and put in Van Wilder there. So I will update that after. So this next matchup is Eurotrip versus Van Wilder.
I'll go Van Wilder. I've never seen Eurotrip.
Oh, okay.
It's me personally.
Brian, Marcus, it's another like horny teens drive across a country movie. Like that's
but it's
all
across the ocean.
So Europe. I would like it.
No, if you've seen Road Trip, you've kind of sort of
seen
Eurotrip.
Got it.
The only thing that stands alone is Ben's is the only thing. Is Matt Damon singing a song called Scotty Doesn't Know, which
is
a song about him having sex with his Scotty's girlfriend. I'm going with Van Wilder too, just because I feel like Eurotrip is so ugh.
Eurotrip was like that was the road trip movie that like
I mean
obviously I liked Harold and Kumar, but Eurotrip got way more playtime in my friend circles, and it's very irreverent. They make fun of the Pope. There's a college couple that has sex in like one of the Vatican, of course, sacred things. It's completely irreverent. And like it's totally trying to be this raunchy comedy, which I do appreciate it for.
Raunchy.
But Van Wilder, man, I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds. Like, it's just it's so definitive, and I laughed a lot. Eurotrip starts at a real high point with Matt Damon singing "Scotty Doesn't Know,"
and then it's all downhill
when he's on break from doing the Bourne movie, and then it's just like. All right, they're doing raunchy things in Europe. I don't know. So because we'll go Van Wilder.
But that's kind of like what those movies eventually like turn into. And then I will say, to Road Trip's credit, they did try to string a plot through like what took them from point A to point B. And there were beats that were like, okay, why are they at the why are they at the fraternity where this guy, where DJ Qualls gets laid? Okay, this is why. Like, there's a reason. Whereas with Eurotrip, it just felt like a, hey, they did this ridiculous thing. Why? Because they could.
Because like, the lead got broken up with and was going after somebody he was hot for. Like, it's the same, it's almost the same plot, except without a sex tape.
That's exactly.
Except without a sex tape.
Like, that's the MacGuffin.
If anything, it doesn't have a MacGuffin, so they're just doing it. Like, true. That's all it is.
True. Yeah. All right. Congratulations, Van Wilder. We'll see you again. Okay. Next matchup, Burn After Reading versus Step Brothers.
I mean, Step Brothers, right? Like, we can just, this one's really.
I like Burn After Reading.
Oh, Brian, Burn After Reading too. I really like Burn After Reading too, but Step Brothers wins.
You put Step Brothers up against anything, that shit gonna smoke it. I feel like
no way. Do you think? Okay, hang on. So my guy lost. I'm over it. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Step Brothers is like the pinnacle of that Will Ferrell comedy crew?
Damn near. I feel like
really.
I feel like it's either Step Brothers or Talladega Nights, whichever one came first, because you have that. It's just like Doug said earlier. It's two major hitters, right?
Yeah.
It's two major hitters, and they have great chemistry together. As soon as they did that drum set scene, did you put your nuts on? Did you touch my drum set? And when he sings at the fucking Catalina wine mixer, the way that you set that scene up for this motherfucker to sing opera in this silly ass movie, it's a major pinnacle moment of the fucking movie.
Yeah,
I think this is peak of that for me.
And yeah, the boats and hoes. That's what it was. I was trying to remember. That PowerPoint presentation lives rent free in my head. This might be the best of the Will Ferrell comedy crew.
Because I mean, and what I'll say about that is Talladega Nights came first, but that's where those two were still figuring each other out. They perfected it in Step Brothers.
Because is there another movie with them after Step Brothers?
No.
And here's the reason I think that happens, if you ask me. I think that they nailed it. I don't think you get any better than Step Brothers. You can't. There is no sequel. You can't recreate it. It made a shit ton of money. You just fucking nailed it. And then you have to go. And then he has to go and do these more serious roles because he wants to expand. And that's me, though.
Yeah, John C. Reilly did kind of close the
book. He hit a pivot
on that point because then he did start doing more serious roles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even Guardians. So, all right. Next up is Knocked Up versus Scary Movie.
Scary Movie.
It's Scary Movie all day, every day. For
yeah, it is Scary
Movie. Like, I mean, the Wayans have mastered the parody.
Yep.
Like, Knocked Up is fine, but I'm sorry, Scary Movie. Laughs per minute. Funny.
Yeah.
Like, it is incredible. Okay, that was the fastest one we did. Congratulations to the Wayans. All right. Little Miss Sunshine versus Superbad.
Little Miss
Sunshine. How are we feeling? Okay.
Superbad.
I'm also going Superbad. I'm not surprised at us.
I'm not mad at that. Little Miss Sunshine is funny because of that scene where she's singing at the
Fills my chest.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yeah.
That scene alone always lives in my head because that's how I view those pageants is like this. Imagine these little girls coming out and doing that and everybody being like, oh my God, Superbad is also good.
Yeah. My favorite line from Superbad is where the two of them are talking about the party and he comes up, he's like, come on, guys, we're down 6 points. And Michael Cera goes, come on, it's soccer. It's soccer. And then Jonah Hill goes, yeah, why don't you go piss your bed? He goes, that happened years ago. He goes, people don't forget. Like that to me, like that moment.
It is good, though. Those are iconic. That's an iconic cast, though.
It is an iconic cast. I also got to say, Superbad, I feel like mastered and just hit 110 miles per hour. They went 110% on like this low stakes, just driven smart comedy. Yeah. Because like all these other comedies we've talked about, right? Talladega Nights, you're being the best race car driver. Zoolander, you're being the best model. Euro Trip, you're finding this girl you really want to see. Okay, that one's kind of low stakes. But like Superbad's literally Jonah Hill wanting to like get into a party. That's it. That's it at the end of the day.
A girl is a motivator. I think what it did is it kind of, there was some portion of like those other movies, like Sex Drive, like Road Trip, like Euro Trip, where they're going after it feels like it's their world and we're living in it. If that makes sense.
Yep.
Like, oh, they're doing this ridiculous stuff. Accept it. It's their world. You're just along for the ride.
Right.
What I think sets Superbad apart is that Superbad, like there, it's no, it's everybody else's world and this weird stuff, just like they keep getting themselves into this type of trouble.
Yep.
Like it captures what it's like, especially like the stealing like liquor piece.
Oh yeah,
like when he's in the liquor store and he's trying to steal liquor and
oh my god,
just like he's so awkward. I think it just captured like that high school feeling in an authentic way that was relatable.
Yes.
Like not 100%, but at least a little bit.
McLovin is iconic. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I see this entire movie. Yeah. Immediately.
Either that or Muhammad. What the fuck would it be, Muhammad?
Do you know that guy does the rap sample for Damn Son, Where'd You Find This? Like, and that's
really?
You gotta look up the video of him recording it. It's hilarious.
All right. Second to last matchup, we have Mean Girls versus American Pie 2. And I would like to make a quick note. American Pie does not enter the bracket because it was made in the 90s. So this was the first American Pie I could put in to the bracket.
I'm going to go Mean Girls because American Pie 2 just becomes another like group of horny dudes in a like trip somewhere.
It's this weird theme. It's a weird theme. It keeps popping up.
They go up to Michigan and they get jobs and then Nadia comes back and it's a whole, then he has to go to band camp and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mean Girls. I feel like Mean Girls is a lot more iconic, especially culturally. Mm-hmm. I think that just makes more sense.
Mean Girls all day. I've rewatched that movie and quoted it so many times. And that entire cast, I want to say most of that cast they're all stellar. The plastics alone are just incredible.
Yep.
And then you throw in Tina Fey and Tim Meadows, like it's a no-brainer here. All right.
I mean,
go ahead.
Mean Girls spun off a musical that was on Broadway and then now another movie that was just recently in theaters.
So, and then a movie based on the musical.
And then a movie based on the musical. And American Pie
pick the other one.
American Pie 5, Stifler's dad is home again. Like
they probably did that. I remember they did American Pie Band Camp and it was a direct to DVD movie. But like those movies kept going out. There's way too many of them. Okay. Last one, folks. Super Troopers versus Dodgeball.
Ooh. This one's legitimately hard.
This is like the ultimate dorm room what's on in the background movie. Like it's between two.
Super Troopers does really well at combining my sci-fi itch with the comedy itch. I think. No.
There's I don't think there's a sci-fi right. element.
I didn't
thinking
say anything.
I'm thinking,
hey man, no, it's okay. No, say something. No, take your time. It's okay. Figure it out.
Now when you talk to me in that type of manner, now that's gonna make me
Me being supportive.
No, no, no. That sounds contradictory. Oh, I was thinking of the wrong movie. You know what I was thinking, what is that sci-fi? But we talked about it with Power Rangers. That reminds me. Anyway, doesn't really matter.
You're good.
Dodgeball is my answer.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Dodgeball is my answer.
I mean, Doug, I'm going to make this easy and put it out of its misery. That's fine. It's dodgeball for me.
Was somebody fighting for Super Troopers?
I'm not fighting for it. I just think that there's an argument for Super Troopers made.
Yeah.
Because that like broken lizard comedy group did a lot of good stuff. They did Super Troopers. They did. They were very funny in what they were able to accomplish. And so I kind of want to be like Beer Fest was the other one that they did.
Beer Fest.
So I give them like a tip of the hat. I mean, I think Dodgeball is probably the one in terms of culturally relevant and being present in, you know, our zeitgeist of conversation. I think probably Dodgeball.
You know why I like Dodgeball? And I'd hate to say this because I feel like I'm not going to be able to back it up. I feel like it is flawless comedy. Like from start to finish, I think Dodgeball is kind of like, it doesn't miss any moment. There is no moment where I feel like that movie lags or it's too much of this thing. Everybody was in their lane. When you get Ben Stiller, he completely takes the fuck over when he's on the screen.
Yep.
When you get them all together, all of them are funny as a group. Then you have these individual funny moments, the little one-off jokes too as well. I just think that Dodgeball has just like this seamlessly funny flow to it that makes it easy to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dodgeball to me is just, it's one of these movies that it reminds me, I already talked about it, but it's so efficient with its storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like you're not lingering on one comedy bit for too long and you're moving right along. Like mm-hmm. it's not giving you too much fluff. Like we're in and out of here in an hour and a half and
little bit of romance,
a little bit of romance,
self-deprecation, a little bit of fat jokes,
which is funny because it's Christine Taylor, who's Ben Stiller's wife. And then Ben Stiller plays the villain.
I did not know that at all.
Yep. They weren't always married. They broke up, but then they got back together during COVID, which that's a movie.
Love story.
So like, I don't know. Dodgeball, it's such a ridiculous concept. It's Vince Vaughn plays the role. I just think super well as like this guy in over his head being surrounded by all these ridiculous things. And like the cast is great. Like and you have some great cameos like Chuck Norris, Lance Armstrong, you even got William Shatner in there. Like there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Dude, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all straight. You guys nailed it. Good job.
So there it is. There it is. Dodgeball.
You nailed it.
Great job, guys. That is the first round. So we have some exciting matchups for next time, but we did it, folks. First round is done.
Like I've said at the beginning, next week revisiting this second round, that's going to be wild because I feel like we're going to come back and we're going to be like, oh shit, we did say that. Like, we did say that.
We almost should have sent through some like lower tiers to make it a little bit easier second round. I didn't think that far ahead though.
Folks, clear your schedules for Anchorman versus Talladega Nights.
Like, oh Jesus, fuck.
What did we do? Oh, and Scary Movie versus Superbad. Like, oh
God.
And Mean Girls versus Dodgeball. I'm going to have to kill some darlings here. I'm going to have to get my lightsaber out. Gotta get those darlings out of here.
Yeah. What?
Yep. Kill your darlings.
You're going to start offing younglings, Brian? You know, is that the way this works?
Are the younglings brackets?
The funniest part of that It's Yoda saying, "Hey Obi-Wan, don't watch that nigga camera footage, motherfucker. It's gonna scar you for life." And Obi-Wan's like, "I have to see it." Yoda's like, "Listen, dog, you don't want to watch that shit. Hey, like,
I can see the future. It's only gonna bring you pain.
That's just dark as hell, brother. Once you go, you ain't coming back."
Yeah. My favorite is the like on Instagram reels or TikToks where it's like bowling, the bowling strike footage, and it's the bowling ball that's in a hood. It's so good though.
It's bad. Man. It's bad.
Yeah. Gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Hello.
Anything else that you all would like to go over before we pivot on over to our lovely bonus episode?
No, nothing
for the pod, Doug.
Outstanding. Gentlemen, what do you all have to plug this week?
Hey, folks, as always, go over to Color Me Confetti on Etsy. That's Etsy.com, and then search Color Me Confetti for all of those party printables that you can get in the comfort of your own home.
Absolutely. Marcus?
Make sure you follow the mantra, never offended, always humble. Go buy yourself some merch, go copy yourself some music, whatever it is you do. Make sure you follow the mantra, wear the mantra, live the mantra, but just follow it, never offended, always humble.
Absolutely. If you enjoyed our bracket and you want to hear more brackets, or if you want to be a this episode, go over to patreon.com/filmswithblackandwhite. Sign up for one of our tiers there. But the best thing that you can do is share us with a friend or a family member. Let them know that you like this pod, because yes, that is how we grow, and we greatly appreciate all the love and support. Gentlemen, we have a 3-step process to success. Brian, what's our first step?
Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you to read a book. And one of my recommendations to you, find a long book. That way you can just keep reading it. You don't have to find other books. Just get a big, long book. I'm reading a 1,000-page book right now. Am I enjoying that decision right now? I don't know, but I'm just going to keep reading it. I'm going to keep reading it till I'm finished. Read a book.
I'm motherfucker reading for real.
Yeah, you're reading like reading.
Marcus, I didn't
what
know.
Is that step two?
Jesus. Drink some water. If you're reading a 1,000-page book, you're going to need some water. So drink some water.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that third step, look, you don't want to smell like a 1,000-page book that's been sitting on a shelf for too long. So hop in the shower. Take care of yourself, people. Thank you. It's springtime, y'all. We're getting a little bit more heat than maybe we're used to. So make sure that you are taking care of it by washing that ass. So make sure you take care of that. Gentlemen, that does it for this week's episode of Films in Black and White. We'll be back next week with another outstanding episode. But in the meantime, in the between time, stay safe, stay healthy. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And we'll catch y'all next week. I'm in it.